good to be back at the Council on Foreign Relations. As Pete mentioned, I've been a member for a long time and was actually a director for some period of time. I never mentioned that when I was campaigning for re-election back home in Wyoming.
And I am delighted to be here in these new headquarters. I have been often to, the mothership in New York City. But it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
World government is the structure necessary for global justice.
First, we Americans are going to have to yield up some of our sovereignty. That's going to be, to many, a bitter pill. Pat Robertson has written in a book a few years ago that we should have a world government, but only when the Messiah arrives. He wrote, and literally, any attempt to achieve world order before that time must be the work of the devil. Well, join me. I'm glad to sit here at the right hand of Satan.
Welcome back to another edition of the Prepper Recon Podcast. We're going to fight them off. A United Nations Army couldn't hold us back. While you're at PrepperRecon.com, stop by the Prepper Recon Supply Store. We've got a great selection of Molly compression packs, hydration kits, and our new concealed carry tactical slings. All the packs and slings come with your choice of patch to let liberals know how you feel. We have some very cool Moulin Lay patches, come and take it patches, sheepdog, zombie response team, and matching U.S. flag patches. Of course, we still have our fully stocked Molly-compatible individual first aid kits as well. Just click the Store tab at the top of the PrepperRecon.com homepage.
Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, water filters, bug-out bags, and first aid kits. Use coupon code PrepperRecon for 5% off your entire order at CampingSurvival.com.
Today's guest is Mike Holler of Survival Bags, Inc. Mike, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, Mark. Thanks so much for finding the time to do this interview. I know I didn't make it easy for you, so thanks.
No, absolutely. I understand how demanding it is to be running a business in this day and age. And, of course, our loving, caring government doesn't really make it very easy to turn a profit or have any employees to help you out. So I know all about it. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, we'll start at the top. I'm a male white in my mid-50s, happily married, don't have any children, and I'm the president of Survival Bags, Inc.
Very cool. Now, what about your background? Did you served in the military? Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, background, I served in the Marine Corps. I've been a policeman, volunteer firefighter, and paramedic, and a number of other things, but those are probably the highlights.
Now, with that kind of experience, I guess you've kind of seen how bad things can get on several different levels. Is that why you're into preparedness?
Sure. I think prepping is about looking ahead. You know, you run different scenarios through your mind all the time, and that keeps you sharp. So, yeah, I think a lot of my background has to do with, you know, how I feel now and how I prepare.
Yeah, and I think that's a pretty common thread for, especially for people that have been in the military, to be into preparedness.
Sure. I mean, there's so many different things that you face in the military. You know, there are no constants. You know, you could face this type of situation today, and it would be similar tomorrow, but it's not going to be exactly the same. So, yeah, you have to prepare differently all the time.
And what made you decide to start up Survival Bags, Inc.?
It's probably a two-prong answer. I hope it's not going to be too long. But basically, in 2005, about a month before Hurricane Katrina, I bought a condo in the French Quarter in New Orleans. That sounds bad, but it turned out to be not so bad at all. It was a first-floor condo, and when they finally let us back in the city, My condo was dry, so it turns out I was okay. But that was a good thing because that allowed me to spend some time helping a lot of other people who didn't fare out quite as well. So that's the first part of the prong. And the second part is I had served in my local community on a number of different things. So I was a Parks and Rec commissioner, a multi-term president of a Chamber of Commerce, member of a board on the Emergency Communications Center, and then being a police officer, volunteer firefighter, and paramedic. And finally, I was a public official serving as a trustee for a fire protection district. So basically what I thought was that, you know I can help people locally, but what if I could help people on a national level, you know, maybe from coast to coast? So that's where I came up with the idea for Survival Bags, Inc., and that was born in 2012. And that was basically the idea that I come up with a bag or a pack that contained emergency food, water, and supplies for 72 hours. And I thought if I can make it reasonably priced, you know, maybe some people who, you know, had natural disasters in their area or something, you know, could be a little bit better prepared.
And you sent me one of your Head for the Hills bags, and I just couldn't believe the amount of stuff that you had in that bag. And all I can say is that folks would be very hard-pressed to put together that bag themselves for under 60 bucks. I think it sells for 59 bucks on your website. And can you tell us a little bit about that bag, what's in it?
Sure. And that's the bottom of the tier for me. But the Mossy Oak bag, it's a great bag. It's a camo color. We have it's the Oak Leaf 1 Day Pack. And inside the bag, it's a nice roomy bag. You'll have two 2,400 calorie bars, 12 4.22-ounce packets of water, 50-foot of paracord, an adventure medical kit, 0.5, you know, which has Band-Aids, gauze, things like that, a headlamp, the 22 LED headlamp, emergency poncho, blanket, magnesium fire starter, three N95 particulate masks. There's a little roll of toilet paper in there, and toothbrush and toothpaste. So, I mean, that's about as basic as you get. So, you know, if you're talking about your most basic necessities, those are the things that I think you need. So I think you can, you know, have this by the front door. You could have this in the trunk of your car, the back of your truck, whatever. I mean, grab it and go. And, you know, you should basically, you know, be good.
It's time for a quick break, and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proved to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on silver and gold. Check out silver.com today. What's a good middle-of-the-road bag? What's in it, and what's the price point?
One of the nice middle-of-the-road bags I have is a survival preparedness bag, and that price point's $179.95, and it's got a number of great things. First off, it's a Fox Tactical Field Operators Pack, and it's got the two food bars, two MREs, 18 packets of water, Adventure Medical Kit Hybrid 3, which is a really great kit. It has not only medical supplies in there, but it has duct tape, fire starters, headlamp, all kinds of basic supplies. Also 100 feet of paracord, two-person tube tent, emergency poncho, emergency blanket, 36-hour emergency candle, a windproof, waterproof pack of matches, two more packs of waterproof matches, magnesium fire starter, two disposable hand warmers, let's see, three N95 masks, toothbrush, toothpaste, packet of toilet paper, packet of tissue, packet of shower in the bag, and six wet naps, and that wraps it up. But that's a great kit for all around.
And then what goes in your top-of-the-line bag, and what are the premium products in there?
That one's got about 50 different items in it. Probably the biggest difference is that's one of the best bags you're going to find out there. Whether you're a military operator or whether you're a hunter, you know the name Everly Stock. So that's the Everly Stock G4 Operator Pack. And like I said, without naming off all 50 items, everything from an emergency radio to an axe, knife, that Hybrid 3 I talked about, all kinds of fire starters. You have Surefire flashlight, and pretty much everything else that I called off in that other bag, this one's got it, and much more.
And then you've went through that. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say the biggest difference people need to know about is that one that I talked about before this. That's probably about a 20-pound bag, where this one, when you strap it on, that's 50 pounds. So you need to be ready for some good exercise if you're going to pick this one up.
But the thing about this one is that you're buying it from somebody that knows what to put in it, because they're buying it from somebody that's been in the Marines, somebody that served as a police officer, somebody that served as a firefighter and EMT. So I would imagine your top of the line bag, you've pretty much put the stuff in there that you've got in your own bag. Would that be a correct assumption?
Oh, absolutely. I carry this bag. This is in my truck. But yeah, I mean, I always use top-of-the-line products. You have to, if you're going to sell things to people for an emergency, they need to be quality products so that, you know, when the need arises, you know, you're ready for it. And so that's a big thing. So, you know, you'll always be able to look at my products. You know, they're named products, names that you're familiar with, and you know that, you know, there's some good quality with those. So that's one of the big differences between my company and some of the other ones that are out there.
And what did you carry in your pack in the Marines?
Well, that was about 33 years ago, so I'm not going to remember everything. But a few things that I do remember. Well, we had small tents, poncho. We had sea rats, which was food in a can. I think they used that back in World War II, and I think the Marine Corps kept some extra supply, and they gave that to us, too. But canteens of water, and that was kind of some of the basic things that I do remember.
And now I'm probably never going to get this chance to ask a Marine, cop, EMT, firefighter this question again, so I have to ask you, what does your everyday carry consist of? And I particularly want to know what flashlight you carry and what knife you carry.
Knives might be a little bit of a surprise. For my everyday carry, it's really basic. I just have a Leatherman Blast as far as a knife goes. But the other things that I carry in my pocket, I have a mini mag light, two pair of high-risk nitrile gloves, two N95 respirator masks, usually carry 50-foot of paracord. I have Smith's Pocket Pal survival tool, which is a knife sharpener and a survival tool in one, pen, pad of paper, wallet. Oh, yeah. I always forget that. And a Glock 19.
19.
Yeah.
And what did you say you carry for a flashlight?
I have a mini mag light. Okay. I find that that's, you know, it's adequate, it's good, it gets the job done, and it's nice and small and compact and just fits on my belt.
And it's dependable?
Oh, very dependable, yep. That's the one I sell with most of my lower-end bags.
And it looks like we might be in for another bad winter. What recommendations do you have for people to keep in their car in case they slide off the road and get stranded in freezing weather?
I mean, real, real basic stuff. You'd be surprised in the wintertime. You know, so many people don't prepare for getting stuck. You know, they just think, hey, I'm just driving, you know, down to the local grocery store. It's only 10 or 15 minutes. So real basic stuff, hat, gloves, boots. Make sure you have a coat, emergency blanket, water, flashlight. A lighter and matches are always good. And if you have the room, a 5-gallon bucket, keep a garbage bag in there. Bring some toilet paper, food bars, shovel, window scraper. First aid kit's always good, and an emergency candle. I mean, again, those are real basic things, but, you know, you'd be surprised how many people just don't think anything bad's going to happen, even driving down the road.
What about keeping your gas tank topped off? Is that a good idea? And that way, if you do get you do slide off the road, given if your tailpipe's not covered by snow, you should be able to run your engine and at least keep the heater going, maybe for several hours until a rescue can be effected. Is that would that be a good idea?
Well, I mean, 100%. But sometimes the problem is where you're headed is the gas station, so yeah. Maybe you never make it.
Yeah.
So, no, but you're absolutely right. I mean, in the wintertime, you should never let your car, you know, a gas tank go under half a tank. If you do, you know, you're just kind of setting yourself up for failure. So once it hits half a tank, fill it up. I mean, you're not hurting anything.
And with all of your experience, you must have some good tips to surviving. Can you give us the top three things you've learned from the military and emergency services to staying alive in the cold?
Oh, in the cold, probably one of the biggest ones is shelter. So you need to, you know, you need to find some shelter. If you're in, if it's cold, you know, and you're outside, you know, you need to find some shelter, something to break the wind. If you're in a car, stay in the car in most cases, you know, unless your car's gone off the side of the road, because you can keep a lot of heat in the car. But also, you know, don't panic. Keep your hands, your feet, and your head warm. You know, so many people don't wear hats. You know, hats are a very important thing, even if it's a baseball hat. You know, you're going to lose most of the heat from your body through your head. So, you know, I think those are some of the big ones.
And working EMT and as a police officer and firefighter, have you seen a lot of people that were got in trouble in the cold that it was an easily preventable thing with a little bit of preparation?
Not so much in the cold. Maybe just people who are out walking and things like that. People who think that it's okay to exercise in the extreme cold. You can still get frostbite, even though, you know, you feel like you're warm, but your extremities, you know, aren't. And so, you know, finger frostbite, toe frostbite, you know, even that even happens on runners and things like that. You know, if the weather's really bad, you know, you feel like you still have to go exercise, but, you know, maybe do something around the house or something like that. You don't need to go out in the severe weather. That's, you know, that's
bad news.
That's
a good point. And being down here in Florida, it's something that I guess I never would have thought of, because I guess exercising, your core's warm and you feel like you're warm and you don't feel any, you don't really feel cold, but your nose or, like you said, toes, fingers, things like that, the blood's not that hot blood from your core is not really getting all the way there.
Right. Yep. Yeah, you'd be surprised. They, you know, come in from the cold. Their fingers are kind of tingling. They take their gloves off. They think they were protected, you know, really wearing some good gloves. And you know, now their fingertips are all white and everything. And so, yeah, you got to massage them, get that blood, you know, rolling again.
And then one of the things we saw back in this first snowstorm that we had up in New York is we saw several people keeling over with heart attacks because I guess they've been sitting on the couch eating potato chips all year. And then all of a sudden they get 6 feet of snow and they got to get out there and shovel it off of their roof before their roof collapses. I guess that's a great point for preparation, that you need to be staying in fit at all times to be able to face whatever disaster comes your way, but particularly snow and shoveling snow. Is that correct?
Sure. I mean, snow's a killer. You know, it's that silent killer. You think, oh, you know, it's no big thing. You know, I've done that for years. But the problem is, you know, maybe over the years you put on 10, 15, 20, 30 pounds extra. And so, you know, every year you put 5 or 10 pounds on, and that's, you know, going to be more and more that your heart has to work, you know, when you're doing that kind of activity, and you're not really thinking about it. You're all stressed out, you know, that you have to get rid of this snow, and so, yeah, I mean, that causes a really bad problem, but it's constant. And so maybe, you know, if you have neighbors, you know, they're a little bit older or maybe not in as good a shape, maybe if you finish, you know, your yard, maybe you could go over and help them out too, because, you know, they might need a hand before, you know, it causes them a problem.
Sure, that's great advice. And we have the same thing down here in Florida is, you know, we'll only get a hurricane maybe where you're actually having to get out and do a lot of cleanup maybe once every 10 years or once every 15 years in some areas, depending on where you're at. You know, it's just kind of a roll of the dice. So, and what we'll have to do here is get out with the chainsaw and clear trees and all of that kind of thing. And of course, we've had some stuff like that with the winter storms recently too. When you get the ice on the limbs and the limbs break or pulls the whole tree over, and people are having to get out and cut trees and things like that. And it's all very strenuous work. And it's a great reason for folks to stay in shape all year round so that when those things do come along, you're already in shape for it. And it's not going to be a huge shock to your system. And any kind of disaster, you need to be in good shape, even if you're just getting out of the, you know, you're having to bug out on foot or whatever and having to do a long hike or whatever it is. It's always a great idea to try to do your best to stay in shape.
Sure. And you bring up a real good point. I was stationed down in North Carolina for a while, and snow and ice storms and things like that are becoming more and more prevalent these days. You know, if you're not used to driving in that stuff, you need to be careful. You know, you need to drive slow. You know, you need to pay attention. We used to say on our base that, you know, the people, you know, who came from areas where there was snow and ice because they knew how to drive. You know, the other people were always in the road or over in a ditch or something like that. But, you know, it doesn't matter. It could happen to anybody. You know, you just have to be cognizant of what the weather conditions are, and you need to slow down. You know, the faster you go, the worse your situation could turn out to be.
Very good. Now, Christmas is next week, and I'm thinking a good bug-out bag might be the best possible gift. I'm sure we all care about somebody that just hasn't gotten around to prepping yet. And, you know, it's that person that you've been talking to them about it for a couple of years, and they, yeah, I know, and I need to get a bag. And, you know, and a lot of those might be, especially for folks that might have kids that are going away to college now, and maybe they're driving into college, and, you know, and they just don't have the funds for it. This might be a good opportunity to get them a good get-home bag or bug-out bag that they can keep in their car or keep in their dorm room. And I'm sure you've got a lot of great stuff that would fit that bill. What would be your three best bags for under $300?
Well, I think you can't go wrong, you know, with the Head for the Hills bag, the Mossy Oak bag that I talked about. And that one again was for, $59.95. That's your basic of all basics. So, I mean, you can't go wrong with that one. The other one that I talked about, the one that we had for $179.95, that one is a great solid bag right there. You know, you get a little bit more elaborate. I probably have 30 different bug out bags that are outfitted, ready to go. And I have one that's called the Operator 2. That one comes with a fixed blade. But that one runs about $294, and then one of the very popular ones that I had that I made this year is the Urban Operator Survival Bag. That one's going for $269.95, and that comes with a little folder knife. So you know, any of those would be great, but if you just want to cover the basics, you know, that Head for the Hills bag really, really does it. You don't need a $300 bag. You know, something really basic is going to work for you. So that's the important thing. You know, whether you choose my product, anyone else's product, you know, something basic can work. You just have to make sure, you know, that, you know, you do your homework and it's not something that's cheap, cheap quality, that kind of thing. That's really the most important thing because, you know, a flashlight isn't a flashlight. So, you know, it all depends. But again, you don't need a $300 flashlight. You know, your basic $15, $20 flashlight, you know, can get the job done too.
And, of course, we'll have a we always have the link at the top of the page on Prepper Recon, the big black and yellow banner for people to click through to Survival Bags, Inc., and that's on the PrepperRecon.com homepage. But now for folks listening on YouTube, Stitcher, iTunes, where can they find you? And then also I think you said that you might have a little promotion for Prepper Recon listeners.
Oh, you bet. You're going to be able to find me at www.survivalbagsinc.com, and I'll spell it out. Survival, S-U-R-V-I-V-A-L, bags, B-A-G-S, Inc, I-N-C, .com. And, yeah, here's what I'd like to do. Any of your listeners, and now this is really important, I only service the lower 48 states in the U.S., so anybody out of the country or Hawaii and Alaska, not able to help you out. But anyone here in the lower 48, until the end of this month, December 2014, if you place an order on my site, anything over $50, I'll send you one of these Smith's Pocket Pal. Like I said, it was a knife sharpener and survival tool. It's like a 5-in-1 tool, about a $12 deal. So just send along a little email, say that you heard about me on Prepper Recon, and I'll send that out with your order. And, you know, I'd greatly appreciate any orders that come in, and I'll take care of you. My customer service level is, you know, to the ceiling. Work really hard to make sure that everybody gets, you know, what they ordered as quickly as possible. So I'd greatly appreciate any business send my way.
Mike, thanks again so much for coming on the show.
Mark, thank you so much for the opportunity. Greatly appreciate it and really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Are we living in a time of which there is more prophetic writings than of any period in history? Noah Parker, like many in the United States, has been asleep at the wheel. During his complacency, the founding precepts of America have been slowly, systematically destroyed by a conspiracy that dates back hundreds of years. The signs can no longer be ignored. Watch through the eyes of Noah Parker and his family as a global empire takes shape. Ancient writings are fulfilled, and the last days fall upon the once great United States of America. The Days of Noah, Book 1. Conspiracy by Mark Goodwin is a fast-paced fiction thriller which looks at how modern conspiracies could play into biblical prophecy concerning end times. Buy The Days of Noah in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition at Amazon.com today.